is. So we can't talk about faith unless we go to Hebrews 11, right? And man, I'm just so in awe that I get to preach in front of my favorite people. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Everybody say good testimony.
Good testimony.
Come on. And then verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And then verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible, everybody say impossible, to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're going to talk about faith today, and we're in a series called Undivided. And we got a lot of divided faith, but you know what? This church is going to have undivided faith. Undivided faith. In verse 8, it brings up Abraham, the father of faith, pretty much. And Abraham, now by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, there the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged God faithful who had promised. Everybody say, women can have faith too. Amen. But here's the thing, guys. I'm going to tell you my story. So you may not know, but in 2019, we lost a baby at 9 months. And, you have two options. You can either still roll with God, or you can leave God. And you can still roll with God and be insecure, or you can still roll with God and have faith. And, in the book of Job, when God allowed something to happen to Job, there was restoration at the end. God doesn't take something. Well, really, God doesn't allow something to happen. God doesn't allow the devil to do something in your life unless God knows he don't know what's coming next. He don't know what's coming next. Devil is not all-knowing. And God has a plan of restoration. And so me and Victoria, we had a walk in faith. Our faith was not strong during that moment of the doctors telling us we lost that baby. It was not strong. In fact, some of our faith was absent, right? Because we agreed with doubt. And so, but you know what we did? We repented and we said, no, from now on, we're going to have faith. We're going to have faith in God to do what he's called us to do. We're going to have faith in God to give us what he's called to give us. Because we know God's not an abortion doctor. But I'm going to get to see my baby anyway. So the devil lost anyway. So that's okay. We still win. Fast forward. Me and Victoria, we're still young. I know we're stupid sometimes. But we're like, God, will you ever give us a baby? We're 23. Come on. He's going to give us a baby. I mean, come on. But the devil still likes to lie. He's like, you're not capable of having a baby. not capable of having a baby, taking pregnancy tests, you know, for a couple of years, you know, not seeing anything happen, right? Well, we had to wait a while because she went through the full labor process, and then the head was swollen. And so they said, oh, we can't do this. We have to do an emergency C-section. And so a bunch of labor plus the C-section, and then having to wait for her body to heal up so we can have another baby. And so a lot of people prophesied. We had dreams. You know, my brother-in-law, her brother, said, you should name the next one Eliana Grace, you know, because God's going to gracefully give you that child. And someone in our church at the time was like, I just have, like, the Lord's telling me that your next child's going to have the middle name Grace. And I'm like, all right, God, I guess we're going to go roll with Grace. So, and so, fast forward, man, and we were just getting prophecies and people praying and praying over the womb, you know, just rebuking that fear of not being able to have a child. Even though, no, I mean, we never were told we couldn't have children. It's just the devil's, you know, a bully. And we decided to bully him back because we decided to go with God. But anyway, we're on a Zoom call meeting. Amen. You know, Zoom call meetings are anointed. Amen. And this girl, you know, sweet as could be, you know, sister in the faith. She's French. And she's like, she just has the biggest smile. She's like, you guys have a kid? And we're like, well, one in heaven. She's like, I don't know why. I just see you with child. Like, just the, you know, like Charlie at Chocolate Factory sweet. You know what I'm saying? Like, just straight up. Like, you know, it wasn't this, like, full on, you know, thus saith the Lord and the lightnings, you know. No, just, I just see you with child, you know. I just see you with child. And so we took a pregnancy test, right? And we were pregnant. Right after that, the day after. Come on. And I was like, see, devil, that's what happens when you follow God. You get restoration. And we were believing for it. And someone through obedience prophesied to us that we would have a baby. And now Victoria is 7.5 months pregnant. 8 months, 6 weeks, we'll try to have that baby naturally. So you could partner with us in believing that July 9th, that baby's going to be born. God likes to increase your faith. God likes undivided faith. Undivided faith is undivided attention. It's undivided obedience, right? And so Abraham, it even says in verse 12, he was as good as dead, you know? He was old. When you're as good as dead, you know you're old, okay? Like, you're just old, okay? We don't have as, you know, as good and dead in this room, right?
No.
You're still kicking it. Amen? Yeah. But, I mean, Isaac was named after laughter because Sarah was like, I'm not having a baby. And Jesus is like, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham and Sarah stuck to that promise, and they knew God was going to fulfill it, and they did not waver, and they said, we're having that baby. And I take a lot from Abraham because, you know, losing a child is a hard thing. I was 19 years old, you know, 20 years old. And, you know, especially if you don't have kids and you go through that, you know, you're wondering, okay, is it going to happen again? But guess what? That's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy. The devil comes to seek, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. But God gives life. Everybody say, God gives life. And God gives restoration. I say, amen. Come on. I love the people that, like, they'll repeat after me in the second sentence. They have faith. Amen. Come on. They have faith. No, but I want to encourage you guys today. I want to encourage you guys today that you're saved through faith. You're saved through faith. Faith is not a one-time encounter. It's an everyday measure. You're growing it. It's like a plant. You grow it. Now, I want to encourage you guys. Faith to see the evidence, because we know that faith is the substance, things not seen, okay? Or evidence not seen. There is perfect faith. Jesus had perfect faith. Now, let me encourage you with something that God was letting me know of. Faith to see the manifestation isn't the amount of faith. It's the quality of faith. It's not the quantity. It's the quality of faith. Peter, you could say he had faith to walk on the water, right? A lot of us, we get hit with something hard. We have the faith to pray for it and, you know, declare and decree, you know, that cancer be gone and, you know, our finances to be right and, you know, our children are going to get saved. Amen. But when things start, the waves start turning, we start losing that faith. And then we're like, well, we had faith. Faith isn't a one-time thing, man. Faith is continue. Stay strong in it. And the girl and the woman asked the judge one time. He said no. She asked the second time, said no. Asked the third time, said no. Asked the fourth time, said no. And she kept asking until she got her way. Right? Mom, can I get a Snickers bar from the aisle? No, you're going to ruin your dinner. Hey, Mom, can I get a Snickers bar from the aisle? Oh, you know you've done it. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. You know you got that Snicker bar after the fifth question and the wines and all that stuff. You know you did it. But listen, Peter got out of the boat. He's walking. And how does he stay upon the water? Keeping his eye on Jesus. Right? You can walk towards the cross and still have your eyes off. You can still walk to heaven with your eyes off. You know what I'm saying? I could walk to Jesus and be like, hey man, the Bucks might win the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. You know? Just distractions, you know? Distractions. And so we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the problem. The problem in our when we lost the baby, and I'm going to give you a tool, right? Because we learn from those experiences. I had my eyes on the devil and try to rebuke him more than glorify God, what he was wanting to do. Yeah. I was focused on the wave rather than just, Jesus, you got this. Yeah. Worship is your first command. You can't enter a battle without meeting the general. And sometimes as Christians, we like to get in the battle right away. We like to go right to the battle, but you have no game plan. You got no game plan. That's why you lose. That's why you lose your faith. That's why you lose the battle. You know, that's why we lose our life sometimes. And so you have to meet with the general, with Jesus. Okay, Jesus, what we got? You know, how are we going to do this? What's the game plan? And, you know, just like Jesus was like, hey, what's the game plan? And the Holy Spirit was like, you know what? We're going to do a little bit different. I want you to spit in some dirt. That took faith. I bet none of us in here would go out there and get to that Shell gas station and say, you know what? I'm going to put some gasoline in somebody's eye. You know what I'm saying? It takes faith. It takes faith. Faith is unusual. That's how God wants it. He wants you to be dependent on him, no matter what he asks for. And the problem is we think there's a method. Oh, you know what? You know what? You're going to get healed. Let's just go through the list. Generational curses. Have you forgiven anybody? Have you done? There's no checklist. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And he'll tell you exactly what the issue is. He'll tell you everything. Jesus didn't go through lists. But Jesus attacked every single form of demonic attack just by listening to the Holy Spirit. having faith in God. The Holy Spirit has a mission for you guys. See, the Holy Spirit's not your genie. He's your God. He tells you how it's done. Like, when he commands something, he requires you to obey it. And we all fall short, right? Anybody perfect in this room?
No.
I almost got you. But we're required to listen to him and have undivided attention, undivided obedience, and undivided faith. Amen? And so Peter, he starts falling because he's looking at the waves. Starts looking at the storm. Starts looking at the storm. And so I want to tell you guys, even if your heart's in the right place, looking at the storm is going to create doubt. And Jesus told Peter, by the way, Peter walked on water, okay? First of all, that's insane. Second of all, Jesus says, you of little faith. Ouch, I just walked on water. Me a little faith. What is Messiah talking about? You know, but he says, why did you doubt? Faith is about quality, not quantity. You could pray 3 hours and have the right words in your mouth, or you could have faith in your heart as the size of a mustard seed without doubt. And that's perfect faith. That's what Jesus wants. And problem is, we have too much yin-yang faith in the church today, where it's, we'll mix doubt and the will of God and faith, and we'll see what happens and if it's God's will. Well, God's not going to do it and work with darkness, because doubt's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And so the Spirit of God's not going to work with the spirit of the devil, you know? And so that's something that God convicts me on, is don't doubt my promises. Don't doubt my promises, right? Don't doubt it. Don't fear, because I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Love casts out all fear. Amen? The people we love most depend on us to be full of faith. The people that we love most, because you're not loving at full capacity if you're fearing over their life. Uh-oh, it got quiet. Amen? We are the children of God, and God's put it in you, and God's given you the measure of faith, and he wants you to know that you do have the power to keep it pure, to be obedient, to be undivided. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Don't you walk out this room feeling all, well, you know what? Well, this happened in my life. Who cares? Everything's happened in our life. I lost a baby. Amen? But guess what? I ain't going to lose this baby. I ain't going to lose this baby, because I'm going to have faith, and that baby, since I'm the head of my household, it relies on me to love. And love says you can't fear. Right? Uh-oh. No, but listen, I want, and you know what? You all are relying on a promise. There's something that God's promised you that hasn't come to fruition yet, that hasn't been manifested yet, and that's okay. You're in a process. Amen? I love Hebrews 11 because it convicts me to the bone when I read these testimonies. Literally says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of the promises, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't even receive the promise, but yet they were willing to just go a little bit further towards it. The promises that God's given you, maybe it's your generations being saved. Maybe it's, wealth for your generations, whatever it is. Would you still have faith in God if you weren't here to see it? Would you still have faith in God that he would do it if you weren't here to see it? Or do you have to see it? Are we in the spirit of control or submission? That one convicts me, man. Because a lot of times, you know, we want to see it for ourselves. But sometimes God doesn't allow that. Sometimes God doesn't allow that. He just wants to see, do you have faith in my vision? It's not me having faith in your vision. Do you have faith in my vision? One of the verses I love is, by faith, Joseph in the many colors, a coat of many colors, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, that's the weirdest testimony. Like, imagine we're like, hey, everybody, give your testimony. You know what? I gave instructions concerning my bones. No, but listen, Joseph was comfortable, a second in command in Egypt. He was comfortable. His family was Egyptian. He could have stayed there. He could have had a nice little tombstone, but he said, take my bones because I know we're going to the promised land. Is that our faith in this house today? God, take my bones if I die because I know you're going to fulfill it. Amen? I hope you're getting encouraged today. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. But God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Some of that's doubt, fear, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I just say something in this house today? That faith pleases God. Everything that's not faith is sin. Right? Correct? If we're not operating in faith, our faith is in something else. Because fear is faith, but it's faith in the wrong person. And so I want to encourage you guys today, and we're going to walk together in this. Amen? That's what a church is for. We're not some social club where you come and, you know, you get your coffee and, you know, a couple times a month, you know, come to church. You know, but we're going to walk together in this faith. And I've trusted you guys to walk with us in this pregnancy. And we have great pastors who are leading us in faith. We got to stay. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. You will win every time if you just keep your eyes on Jesus. You will. Jesus isn't a loser. Anybody going to say Jesus is a loser in this house? He's not a loser. He defeated death. He defeated sickness. He defeated all sin. And even in the midst of our imperfections, he still loves us. He still wants to grow our faith. He never says, well, you keep messing up. I guess we're just done. No. Abraham got another woman pregnant, and he still said, yeah, let's keep doing this. Let's get it. Let's get Isaac. Come on. Right? Solomon got to build the temple, and we know Solomon. You know what I'm saying? 300 wives, 700 concubines, pretty much all idol worshipers of different nations. But God still used him to build a temple because it was God's vision. He'll use you. No matter what you were like yesterday night, no matter what you were like this last week, no matter how your family looks, that's the vision. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fight for the promise that he's given you.